then I asked for a brave young unicycle kid to come up and jump onto the unicycle with me.
Yeah.
So I did that, and this little girl came up, about 7 years old, little Chinese girl.
Yeah.
Long black hair.
Yeah.
With her face painted up like a butterfly.
Lovely.
She had just been to the face painter.
Yeah.
And I was just about to say, what's your name? She goes, my name's Natalie. And then she goes, oh, and this is my sister, Jennifer.
Mm.
Twins.
Oh.
So Jennifer was like a couple seconds behind, and I thought, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Right? So I looked at the audience, and Jennifer
is
and Natalie...
Is this the act where you're going to ride with them on your shoulders while you're on the unicycle?
Yeah, exactly. This is why I needed the brave kid.
You need one brave kid. You don't need two.
I launched the kid up. Typically, I launched the kid onto my shoulders. I asked the kid to jump onto the seat of my unicycle so that he can ride, but he happens to somehow jump higher than he's supposed to. He lands on my shoulder because he's super kid, right? And I've given him my red hat with the gold star.
Yeah.
Right? Woo. Which makes him into a super kid.
That's right.
Now, I had two of these kids, and you can't say no to one. They look the same. I didn't know who to disappoint. I didn't want to disappoint either.
Yeah.
So I was up there on stage and thinking about how I'm going to do two kids on my shoulders.
Yeah.
And then I asked for the parents. Mm. I need help from the parents here, and I need permission, and I need help from the parents. So the mother comes up, and right behind the mother was a third girl.
Oh, no. You've got your unicycle, you've got yourself, and you've got three girls.
They were triplets.
Oh!
They were seven-year-old Chinese triplets.
Oh, no.
Nicole, Jennifer, and Amelia.
Yeah.
And the audience was going bananas.
Yeah.
Because I was stuck on stage with these triplets who all wanted to ride the unicycle. And all of them said, me first.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So, you know what the Uni Mail, the amazing Uni Mail did.
What did the amazing Uni Mail do?
Well, I got down on my knees and picked up Jennifer on my left.
Right, left bicep, arm.
Picked up Amelia on my right.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, who gets the shoulders?
Yeah.
and then I asked Mom and Dad to help me somehow get up onto my feet.
Yep.
And I actually had these three kids.
Three kids.
On my shoulders.
Wow.
Without a unicycle.
Yeah, without a unicycle, yes.
Without a unicycle.
Yeah.
And I put the magic red hat on the one on my shoulders. I forget which one that was.
Yeah.
And I walked around in a circle. It's pretty hard to hold these kids up because
They
reach about 40 pounds or 50 pounds already. And then some kid in the audience goes, get on the wheel!
Oh.
Get on the wheel, you're unicycles, what are you doing? You know, we don't want to see this. And I said to the little girl, I said, do you want to get on the wheel? And she said, yeah.
Oh.
And I said, do you want to get on the wheel? She said, yeah. And I said, how about you? She said, I'm not sure. And I said, I'll tell you what. Mama, what do you think? If you hold me, so I called some people from the audience. I said, if you hold me, you know, just for a second, we'll only do it for the photograph.
Yeah, yeah.
So the mother, funnily enough, allowed, said yes. And so with all my strength and like powers of three or four decades, I was able to push back on the right pedal and get up with these three kids on my shoulders.
Wow.
With somebody on the left and someone on the right.
Wow.
The mother on the left and some audience guy on the right. And then some weird power in me took over that said, Do it. You can't do this in America. You can't do this. I don't even think you can do it in Hong Kong anymore. But
Health and safety.
But it was only a 20-inch. It was only a 20-inch wheel, my foot was that close to the ground.
Yeah.
So I started doing a little bit of rocking.
Yeah.
Well, how are you girls doing? How are you doing? They were like, yay. And then they had these big, huge smiles.
Wow.
They were so at none. They weren't crying. They weren't scratching my eyeballs out. And then the audience was clapping, and they were really getting into it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I said, hey, Mama, would you mind if I just did some rocking over here all by myself.
Yeah.
I stand back and took the picture. And yeah. So, yeah, that was it. The triplets.
Wow.
The triplets on the shoulders, and I did one round.
Gosh.
I did one round of the audience, very, very timid, tepid round, and came back and was able to properly dismount and kick off the wheel and get the kids on the ground, and that was my...
Woo! That's amazing. That's it, my friends, the amazing Steve Gressler. Talking to Steve Gressler this week. Wow, what a story. Now, this guy is one of the key figures behind the growth of unicycling internationally. As a young American, Steve, when he goes to China, introducing himself to the local acrobats and planning to ride a unicycle on the Great Wall of China. We're going to talk all about unicycling, International Unicycle Federation, with Steve Gressler in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsors. Our sponsor this week is unicycle.com China. The best place to get a unicycle is at www.unicycle.com China. If you're in Hong Kong or in Taiwan, you can use unicycle.com China's online Taobao store. The link is in the description. Because the freight is so much cheaper. I just ordered a new unicycle seat and a seat post from unicycle.com for China's Taobao store, and the shipping was practically free. These people really know their stuff and offer the best unicycle deals in the world. Unicycle.com China can even send you specific items that you can't find on their website. Just ask for Alex at unicycle.com. Click on China. Go there right now and get yourself a unicycle. Because this week, we are talking to one of the key figures behind the growth of unicycling internationally. Let's talk to the amazing Mr. Steve Gressler. Alright, Steve Gressler, okay? Steve Gressler.
Yep.
If people want to find you on the internet, it's quite hard to actually find you, really, isn't it? If you type in Steve Gressler unicyclist, you will find all these random things from the 1980s, the 1990s, the 2000s.
I didn't make a big effort.
No.
Because that was...
It's not your primary...
Most of the stuff I did was pre-internet.
Yeah.
The pioneering work that I did was pre-internet. I mean, the Great Wall.
Yeah. He unicycled on the Great Wall of China, probably maybe the first person to ever do it.
Well, the first Westerners.
First Westerner, yeah.
We invited the Beijing Jiajituan unicyclists to go with us. In fact, they were supposed to be our guides that day. And they weren't let out of their compound to go hang out with...
What year was this?
1986.
1986?
September 1986, yeah.
Wow. All right, so... Where are you from?
Oh, is this recording?
Oh, yeah. Right. It's always good to check, though.
Okay.
Oh, there it is. Where are you from, Steve?
Vienna, Virginia, USA.
There you go. Born about 1960?
1960.
There you go. And when did you first start unicycling?
It was just a thing that you did in the suburbs in America.
Unicycling?
Well, some kids, you know, pogo stick. Roller skates. We didn't have roller blades back then.
Yeah.
Pogo stick, roller skates, skateboard, big plastic wheel.
Yeah.
And unicycles. Everybody sort of, it was a phase that every kid went through.
Wow.
You know, when you're 8, 9, 10 years old. And
yeah.
Unicycling stuck with me because I was able to ride it to school. Get there faster than the neighbors.
Yeah. How did you go from, so you're in America, you've learned to ride a unicycle as a hobby, you like it, so you stick with it. So what happens next? Because now he's in Hong Kong and he's been to many, many countries setting up unicycle federations in different places.
Yeah, well, my dad was a Navy man.
Yeah, I saw the photo downstairs.
Traveled all over the world. So I rarely saw him as I was growing up.
Uh-huh.
But when he came back, he was always coming back from some different country with cool stuff from other countries and... he'd always tell me about Japan, Iceland, and Argentina, and Iran, and China. So I said to myself, you know, one of these days I want to be a captain also and travel the world.
Yeah.
But I I had a unicycle accident at age, I think I was 17 or 18 years old, 1978, 79, I was on a 14 footer.
Wow.
So I started with I started in the neighborhood at age 9.
Yeah.
With a, a Taiwanese beginner cycle.
Yeah.
And then finally saved up and bought my own Schwinn 24-inch.
Yeah.
From the local bike store. Year later, I saw a 6-footer in the shop window.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that is really cool. I don't know how I'm ever going to get way up there on that 6-footer. Then I saved up to buy that.
Yeah.
That's the one that you see downstairs. And as I was riding in the park one day on the 6-footer, and some guy came by and says, I have one taller than that. And I said, really?
Uh-huh.
I said, I'd like to see it. He said, well, it's kind of hard to carry around. It's tall.
Yeah.
So we agreed to meet 2 weeks later. And I came over on my 6-footer, and he came over with his 14-footer.
Wow.
Which essentially was a 6-foot unicycle that he had installed bars, vertical bars, and rewelded it and put this really long chain with some adjusters.
Yeah.
And he got up and rode it. He climbed up to the top of the basketball, stood on the basketball hoop,
yeah,
put his foot on the top of the backboard,
yeah,
climbed over, and there were no ropes. This was nuts.
Yeah.
There were no ropes in those days. We weren't professionals. We didn't have nets.
Yeah.
And I was intending to go to the Naval Academy and become a real captain like my dad.
Yep.
But I had this little sideline of the unicycle. So this guy rides it around successfully, and he'd obviously done it before.
Mm.
And goes back to the basketball backboard.
Yeah.
Puts his hand on the backboard.
Yeah.
Says to me, Steve, hold the wheel. I did.
Yeah.
He stepped off onto the hoop.
Oh.
Stepped up onto the hoop. And I took the unicycle away somehow.
Yeah.
And he shimmied down the pole.
Wow.
So yeah. Then I said, it's my turn. Mm. He's like, really? Yeah, I can do 6-footer. I can do that. It's got a chain on it. Well, that turned out to be one of the biggest mistakes of my life.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Got on that thing and rode for about 8 seconds. Was doing fine.
Yeah.
But then I realized there was nothing to hold on to. There was no light standard. There was nothing that I could land at.
Okay, yeah.
Right? There was no landing point.
Yeah.
And the only landing point was the basketball backstop, which was low.
Oh.
So imagine that.
Yeah.
Right? You couldn't just go hug a tree, right?
Yeah.
And it was a basketball court. So then I started having second thoughts about, oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm okay. I'm riding it fine.
Yeah.
And the unicycle is okay. But
yeah.
Then I started thinking, what am I going to do? And
how am I going to get off?
How am I going to get off? I didn't think about that. When you were impregnable.
Yeah.
18 years old. So I started heading for the basketball hoop. And I guess weightlessness took over.
Oh, no.
and I fell. I did a nice arc. Whoa. And it was long. I could count the seconds.
You fell forwards?
No, I...
You didn't fall sideways.
No,
I deliberately
fell. Yeah, I didn't want to fall forwards. I didn't want to smack my face. So I did fall sideways.
Okay.
And I broke my leg.
Broke
my ankle apart, the left ankle, as I landed. The foot hit and the momentum kept.
Oh.
Turned my leg into spaghetti.
Oh my God.
So that put a dent in my unicycle career for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And also kept me out of the Naval Academy.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what happened next?
So I decided the next time that when I was healthy, I would ride shorter unicycles. I would ride shorter unicycles, but more distant places.
Yeah.
So that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I stopped. So that was it.
You're still in America?
Yeah, still in America.
And have you got like a, inverted commas, a real job by now? Or are you still a student?
Oh, I went to college.
College.
I went to college. I spent 2 years of college in America. And as I was recovering on crutches and wheelchairs and all that for 2 years, it took me 2 years to recover from that stupid unicycling accident.
Yeah.
But I did recover, and I'm in a... after 2 years in college, and then I spent three more years in Europe. And I brought a unicycle with me to Europe.
Okay, ah.
Yeah, a small one.
Yeah.
Great thing about it was, you know, it was small. You could carry it with you everywhere, right?
Yeah.
On the bus and on tram.
Yeah.
So I just unicycled individually around Germany, Spain, France. Never made it up to England because I spoke English, I thought. Those days, right? And then graduated in 1984. And 1985 came to Hong Kong to visit my dad, who was here by that time, working in the consulate.
Right.
So I wanted to celebrate college graduation, came to Hong Kong. And but before I came, I had seen the Chinese unicycling team, Chinese unicycling acrobats on TV.
On TV, okay.
Yeah. And they were in Beijing, and they were pretty amazing how they could kick plates onto their head.
They're doing the classic Chinese unicycling, where you're on a giraffe,
and you
balance a bowl on your foot, and you kick the bowl up, it lands on your head.
Right, and that blew me away. And that's
pretty much the entire history of Chinese unicycling for about 100 years, I think.
Yeah, plates and plates and teapots. So
that might be a big generalization based on ignorance, I'm not sure, but that's all I've seen.
And then the guy rode a 6 foot on top of a really big rubber ball.
Oh, yeah, that one. That's amazing.
And they also did, like, multiple people on one unicycle.
Mm.
Like the fan of three guys, you know, riding on one wheel. So since I was going to visit my dad, and he happened to be in Hong Kong, and I thought to myself, oh, that's close to China.
Yeah.
That is close to China. So how cool is that? So my dad being busy and I having a unicycle with me that I brought from America. By this time, it was a 26-inch Schwinn. I re-threaded a 24-inch Schwinn frame.
Yeah.
And it just fit a 26-inch wheel with a slim tire on it.
How come you wanted a 26-inch? Just for speed?
Yeah, well, as I said, I wanted to go faster and further, but not taller. So I brought that 26-inch, and I knew that I was going to use that to just go faster.
Yeah.
Get around on that wheel. By this time, I really wanted to do international unicycle touring.
Mm.
So I was going up to the bigger wheel. Yeah.
So you're in Hong Kong, but you want to go to China. So is that what you did in the mid-1980s?
I wasn't a resident of Hong Kong yet. My dad was.
Mm.
But I had come to visit, and my 3 months was over, my summer visit to my dad, and was over. And by that time, I'm sorry, I had visited my dad, and then after that, I got an internship in a bank.
Okay.
Okay, because I graduated in international business, and I spoke a few languages.
Yeah.
Finance guy, international business. So I had a job with a U.S. bank here for 3 months, an internship. And that was a summer internship. So by September, when I was supposed to go back to America, I thought, okay, now's the time. Now's the time to take that unicycle to China.
Yeah.
And meet those acrobats.
Yeah.
Meet them. And so I invited a friend of mine from California that I used to unicycle with.
Uh-huh.
Came in from San Jose. Got a guy I knew from the 70s.
Yeah.
Childhood friend. One of the guys that we used to unicycle around the neighborhood.
What's his name?
His name is Van Parsagian.
Van Parsagian.
Yeah. He's one of those neighborhood kids that we graduated from skateboard to unicycle. And so that was 1972 that he and I used to do that. And so by 1986, I called him up and I said, hey, dude, you still got a unicycle? I'm going to go ride my unicycle on the Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the first Guailo to do that.
Yeah. Guailo means Westerner.
So I said, hey, Van, haven't seen you in a while, but you used to be my best unicycling buddy. I would hate to do that crazy feat all alone.
Yeah.
Would you like to come? And he said, sure.
Brilliant.
So he got on a plane, came over to Hong Kong, we took a boat from Hong Kong to Shanghai.
Yeah.
We rode down the gang plank on the boat. You know how they have these little bumpy things?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? And went through immigration at the port there, and everybody we saw said, chi ge, chi ge.
Which means?
get on the wheel, make it happen.
Ah.
Get on the wheel and make it happen. Chi yiga means, chi means ride.
Yeah.
Yiga one, ride one, ride
yeah,
one
yiga,
form. Basically
yeah.
means ride one form,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the Hong Kong, nobody really cared that we were unicycling. In fact, they were irritated that we were getting in their way, even back in the 80s, right? But as soon as we arrived in China, we were, you know, a couple of guailos on unicycles, and we were immediate celebrities. It was fun.
Yeah.
From the moment we landed in Shanghai to the time we came back to Hong Kong a month later, we had unicycled Shanghai, went to see the acrobats.
Yeah.
Went to saw the Shanghai acrobats.
Yeah.
Watched that teacup and 6 foot kick the bowl onto your head trick and fill it up with spoons.
Yeah.
We went backstage mm-hmm. after their show and had our unicycles in our hands, of course.
Mm.
And we said, hey, well, we're from America and we're unicyclists too.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, what's going on here? You guys shouldn't be here. And like, well, I don't know. Chi yiga. So I said to the guy, I said, chi yiga. And they laughed. So I said, well, listen, I've seen your show. Would you like to see mine?
Yeah.
And they said, okay, how about Sunday? No, not tonight, but how about Sunday at 10 p.m. or 10
yeah.
a.m.?
Yeah.
Come to this place. So they gave us their training grounds.
Oh.
We took a taxi and we went to their training grounds and showed up at 10 a.m. and went to the official. It was this big 10-foot wall with big metal gates and
okay.
a bunch of Chinese characters on the wall that nobody could read, but they were that long.
Yeah, he's opening his arms wide.
A little guy came in through a little tiny door and let us in. And when we went in, there was this magnificent acrobat training ground back there with
yeah.
every kind of trapeze and trampoline and juggling and all the stuff you see on stage. But these people were just all going at it. And one in the back corner, there were some guys unicycling.
Ah.
So they said, oh, yeah, over there. Those are your guys. And so then I said, well, this is really cool. And we did some chi yiga. We showed them our American sort of wild, managed style. And
yeah.
of course, they showed us theirs,
yeah.
Which you'd been watching for 100 years. So then we said, hey, it was nice to meet you. Over the weekend, we're going to Beijing. Because we want to ride on the Great Wall of China.
Yes, yes.
That's what we want to do. We want to ride on the Great, and we want to ride in Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
So then the guy said, well, listen, if you're in Beijing, you need to go to the Beijing Zhajiquan. You need to go to the Beijing Acrobatic Troupe.
Mm.
You need to talk to my friend who's the head of that thing.
Ah, that's good.
So,
yeah.
And, you give them this card and they will give you a front row seat to the show.
Yeah.
And after that, maybe some of them will want to go to the Great Wall with you.
Yeah.
So I was introduced there in Beijing. I was well received. We arrived, saw the show, and these guys were supposed to go. It was all planned, and we showed up, but they didn't.
You showed up at the Great Wall, and there was no Chinese unicycle team there.
Yeah. So, but there was a guy from Associated Press, the guy that had done our thing, and Associated Press had done us at the at Tiananmen Square.
Okay, Tiananmen Square. They'd seen you. Yes. And then I've seen the photos.
That made big news, yeah.
So you're riding a unicycle, two of you in Tiananmen Square, and Associated Press takes photos and these
photos. Happened to be there.
Yeah, just happened to be there.
He just happened to be there, shooting Tiananmen Square.
And these photos are in newspapers around the world, American newspapers.
Yeah, and then I didn't know it because I was still in China.
Yeah.
But we were at the Great Wall the following day, and there's a sign that says no cycles, no, no skateboards, no like this, no like that.
Yeah.
But as we were figuring out how we're going to get on the Great Wall with our unicycles, suddenly somebody comes up from behind and says, "Hey, are you those guys from Tiananmen Square?" With an American accent. And I turned around and I said, "Who are you?" "So I'm from Reuters." And he says, "So why did you call Associated Press? How come you gave them the scoop?"
Oh, you're celebrities. You don't even know it.
And I'm like, he's like, "I'll tell you what." He goes, "Where's the AP guy?"
Yeah.
he thought we came up in the in the AP van, right?
Yeah.
We just came up on the bus.
Yeah.
And he said, "I'll tell you what." And he goes, "The AP guy's not here today." I said, "No, we're off today. We're gonna shoot the Temple of Heaven tomorrow." But he goes, "Okay, listen." He goes, Daniel Noriega from Nicaragua stood me up today.
Okay.
He was supposed to shoot Daniel Noriega.
Okay.
He goes, he got hung up at the Ming tombs.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He got Daniel Noriega was what was it called? Iran. Daniel Noriega.
Yeah. Don't worry, Google it. I remember him in the news in the
1980s. Yeah, yeah, he was a pretty bad guy.
Yeah, well,
it depends on which side you're on.
General Noriega. Yeah.
But yeah, that's right. So anyway, Manuel Noriega, he was supposed to be there, but he got hung up the Ming tombs, and so the guy from Associated Press was left, by himself at the Great Wall.
Reuters.
No, Reuters. That's Reuters, right. The Reuters guy, right?
Yeah.
Gene Del Bianco.
Okay.
Gene Del Bianco. Yes. I remember him. Yeah.
Del Bianco.
So Gene's like, if you guys don't mind, I've got the press pass, and you follow me this way.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
So he went right by the guards and said, press, press.
And that's how you got the great photos.
Stars from America, and all those photos were done by Reuters.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and we did 3 hours on the wall, all over the top, bottom, left, right.
So you're unicycling as a fanatical hobbyist, taking it with you to different countries. So where does it go from here? How do you get involved in setting up national societies for unicycling and getting involved in going to Unicons? What, and how do you get involved in performing as well?
Before I left America, I became a member of the USA.
Okay.
Unicycling Society of America.
Ah.
Because when I moved from Virginia to California for school, I wanted to know... Were there chapters of the USA? I wanted to get in touch with other unicyclists around America.
Yeah, yeah.
And there happened to be chapters already of the USA around the USA.
Yeah.
So when I reached Southern California, I got in touch with other unicyclists through this national organization.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool. The same guys that set up the USA also set up the IUF.
The International Unicycling
Federation. Mm. That's right. And so when chatting with those people, John Foss,
a legend, yeah.
Yeah, John Foss, he was here in Hong Kong helping me train my my Hong Kong boys in the 90s.
Wow.
He was in the Philippines with me as well.
Wow.
So anyway, John was from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And John said, hey, we had our first Unicon, I think, in Central Park, somewhere in New York in 1976 or 77.
Yeah.
And they had it in Central Park, and they invited unicyclists from France, Puerto Rico, of course, because Puerto Rico is part of America, but they're really good.
Yeah.
Puerto Ricans are really good, and they're good on unicycles. So they counted Puerto Rico as a country.
Yeah.
Even though they were already in New York. There was a couple of French acrobats touring America, and
so they'll come to the Unicon.
So they became the French team, and
the French team at the International Unicon.
Yeah, exactly, at the
International.
Yeah, it sure was. And I'm not sure which other country was it, Italy or Japan. There were some Japanese people. So they had their first Unicon, and so when I told Jack Halpern, when I told John Foss that I was going to Hong Kong to see my dad.
Yeah.
And I was going to go to the Great Wall, because that was my goal.
Yeah.
I was going to meet the Chinese acrobats, and I was going to do the Great Wall.
That was your goal, you told John Foss.
I was determined. Yeah, I told it to John Foss, and he said, hey, we don't have any Asian teams in the IUF.
Yeah.
He said, it would be nice if we had some Asian teams.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, they did. They had Japan already. Jack Halpern lived in Japan, so Jack...
Yeah.
Jack, so the only Asian team was Japan at
Japan.
That time. Right. So when I went to Hong Kong, when I went to China, Jack said, by the way, when you're in China, get name cards from all these people.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna communicate with them, and we're going
to
hook them up.
So John told you to get...
John told me to hook up with Jack Halpern, which I did.
Yeah.
And then when I met Jack Halpern, he flew to Hong Kong to meet me.
Wow, wow.
Jack said, listen, we're going to... we want some Asian teams in the IUF.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what constitutes a team? He goes, a guy with a unicycle and a different passport.
Yes. There you go.
So I said, I can do that.
Quick break in there, right? So my first Unicon was 1996. I traveled from Singapore to England for the Unicon. And Jack Halpern said, by the way, we have the first unicyclist from Singapore. Ni hao, he's good at every language in the world. So I was like, I think he's talking to me, but I don't speak any Mandarin. I'm actually English, but I've travelled from Singapore to be here. Anyway, carry on. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, Jack should have known better that Singapore has four languages. And he speaks all of them except for English. Good old Jack.
So he's encouraging you to start things happening in Asia.
So John Foss was the All-American champion unicyclist.
Yeah, unicyclone
and president of the Unicycling Society of America, president and founder. But he is not much of an international guy now. Jack was the international
guy.
Mr. International. He's from Israel. We used to say Jack is real. He's not an imagination.
Yeah.
Jack is real.
I mean, unicycling is so big in Japan. Is he the guy who started it all? It was just him.
Jack did it.
One
Israeli guy.
One Israeli guy
went to Japan.
Unicycling in Japan is so big.
And Jack started all that.
Wow.
He wrote the book literally, the first
one.
It's written in English, and then he had it translated. How to Ride a Unicycle by Jack Halpern.
That's right. I've seen it.
Right, and then it was translated. And then every time you bought a Miata unicycle, it had that book on it.
Yeah.
And originally, they had that book in English, but a few years later, it had it translated into Japanese, and Jack's picture was only in the back of it. the little cute Japanese.
So, so you're in Hong Kong. Which federation did you set up first, though? Which national club?
Well, after I came back from China,
yeah,
and came across the border to Hong Kong, we were already recognized by the guys in immigration, because apparently there were Reuters in the AP photos had circulated in Hong Kong.
Wow.
And somebody came up to me and said, oh, we have a unicycle team in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
We have a unicycle, an acrobatic unicycling team at the South China Athletic Association.
Okay.
And if you have a chance to go by there, we'd like you guys to go and perform with us.
Because
you American celebrity performer guys.
Yeah.
We're just hacks from San Jose. But so we went to the SCAA, and they were, I guess, a division of the... it all comes out of acrobatics. It comes out of the China acrobatics.
Yeah.
And then the Hong Kong team was a development of the... It's a branch of the China acrobatic stuff. But they had unicycling, and they had the teacups and 14-foot tall unicycles, which I didn't want to get near. So I had to go back to America. But the bank that I had worked for offered me a job.
Lovely.
To come back the following January. So when I came back with the job, I brought my Unicycling Society of America jacket and all of my regalia.
Is this when you met Ros Best? Or was that later?
That was 19... I came back for that job in 1987.
Oh, this is early, very 1987,
early. 1987, 1988.
Yeah.
So I was with the bank. And then I went back and forth, because it was a California bank. I went back and forth for several years between California and Hong Kong. And my formal job in Hong Kong began in 1992. And when I had my foot on the ground, I went to the SCAA. South China Athletic, and I said, hey guys,
South China
Athletic Association. Yeah, and by that time, I don't know what Unicon we were at by that time, Unicon 5,
yeah.
4 or 5 by 1992.
Yeah.
And I said, Jack and John, Jack Halpern and John Foss were always saying, hey Steve, listen, you're in Hong Kong now, you got a job, it's your duty, it's your job, right?
To organize
the Hong Kong unicycling people,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I didn't know what we were going to call it, but I thought, well, I'm from the U.S., and I'm here in Hong Kong, so why don't we call it USHK?
The Unicycle Society of Hong Kong, USHK. Oh, that's very cool. I like it. I hadn't spotted that.
Yeah. Not many people get that one,
There's
right?
an American link to the first Hong Kong Unicycle Society.
and then the logo is pretty cool, because it shows a unicycle basically landing in the Hong Kong harbor and then traversing the harbor in front of the central building.
Lovely,
skyline.
Lovely.
A unicycle sort of doing that, like a unicycle.
So you organized, you set this up, and you took a team to a unicorn from Hong Kong. Is that right?
Several Hong Kong teams. Yeah, well, the idea was to set up the USHK.
Yeah.
So we would have Hong Kong as an official sport. We adopted the USA rules.
Yeah.
For the Unicycling Society of America, and those USA rules came from the IUF.
Yeah.
Jack Halpern.
Yeah. You know,
they're really similar. So the idea was to go around the world and proffer the same rules in whatever country we went to. So we set it up here in Hong Kong. We had a legal society established with the society's ordinance here.
An official legal society.
Correct. With directors and it was all a bit too official for me, but it was required. So
yeah,
we did it. But the good thing was that it enabled us to apply for funding.
Funding. Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So 92. What did we do in 92? What did we do in 92? Oh yeah, you saw me riding in front of that tram, you know. They're on the 6-footer.
Is that the photo I saw?
Yeah, yeah. That one. After I set up the USHK.
Yeah.
Some local newspaper guy said, "Well, listen, here's Steve, the American guy who's teaching."
Amazing, crazy Steve Dressler from America.
He thought it was a good idea for me to ride down the tram track.
Oh my God!
In the middle between the.
Oh,
and I said it's
no.
pretty greasy there.
Yeah.
On a 6-foot.
There's a tram, very famous tram. Which tram was it?
It was Shengwan.
Shengwan. The old-fashioned electric tram, and then when you ride a unicycle on the tracks.
And I was high enough to look into the second floor window of the tram.
Oh, on a giraffe unicycle.
Yes. So they always captured me doing weird stuff. I don't remember. I've never been caught on camera falling off, but like they say, stay on top.
Stay on top, yeah.
So yeah, that was 1992, and got busy with work, as you do.
Yeah.
On and off with the SCAA and then the USHK. And then
are you getting shows as well performing?
No,
at this stage?
No, not yet.
It's a sport.
No, I never. Recreation. I was always a sport unicyclist. Yeah. I was a sport. I was a sport unicyclist. I was an organizer.
Right.
Was never a performer.
Right.
Until 1996, when a guy who was a performer, good on a unicycle, named Francois Zanini.
Francois Zanini. Yeah.
Yeah, well known. Guy who has many tricks up his sleeve and he rides on one as well. He rides a 6-foot.
He's in Hong Kong, where you are.
Yep. So he needed some unicyclists for a parade.
Yeah.
And so he looked up in the Society's Guide of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And found, believe it or not, the Unicycling Society of Hong Kong.
There so you
he
are.
Called me, happened to be the president. And he said, "Hey, Steve, can you lend me some unicyclists for a parade?"
Brilliant.
Yeah. And I said, yeah, we can do that. And so we got over there and we were wearing our sporting uniform. He said, no, that's not going to do.
Oh, yeah. Zanny's very particular about
that's
wearing
not going
to
do.
Wear really, he has very precise ideas about what an entertainer should wear. Yeah. It can't be normal stuff. It has to be. It has to be a proper costume.
You can't wear cycling shorts and a Unicon t-shirt. No. You got to dress up as a pink clown.
Yeah, it's got to be Cirque du Soleil and better. Yeah.
So yeah, it was fun. So we did that, and after that, Francois said the coolest thing was he said, "By the way, you know, whose name do you want me to put the check in?" At the end of the parade.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I had associated unicycling with money.
Money. That's a whole new world, really.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I discovered that world.
So that was 1996 or 1997. I'd already been unicycling for 25 years.
Wow.
Before I ever...
Did the show.
Well, no. I'd done shows. Yeah, I'd ridden in parades, but, you know, I was never a performer in... on demand, on stage for money.
Yes.
But it quickly became a really good sideline from banking.
Yeah. So you could do these extra shows because there was quite a lot of work at a certain point in Hong Kong, wasn't it? For a while, every shopping center wanted to have shows.
There sure was, yeah.
There was a period, was it late 90s? Yeah.
Good time. So all my Hong Kong boys who were also somewhat motivated by money.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
And they didn't mind whatever costume Francois.
Yeah.
The wackier the costume, the more they charged.
Yeah. And they were golden years, weren't they?
We had a good gig going up until 1998 when Unicon 9 was going to happen in Bottrop, Germany.
Right.
So I was training my boys over in Chungchou.
Yeah.
Chungchou Island.
Still in Hong Kong, part of Hong Kong. Yeah.
And I brought them the poster for Unicon 9 in Germany.
Yeah.
And I said, who wants to go to Germany?
Yeah.
And of course, these guys, you know, they might have gone to Central, or maybe the adventurous ones went to Jim Satchui.
This is a 5 minute, a 20 minute ferry ride. Yeah, it's pretty adventurous.
But
going to Germany, wow.
These kids were all children of fishermen.
Yeah.
They're all Chungchou fishermen, and their parents were gone 6 months of the year on a boat.
Wow.
So they were on land living with grandma, you know.
Oh. Dad.
And so they were given to me as sort of a project. take care of these kids. So keep them from getting in trouble.
Yeah.
So I had a little bit more success than they expected.
Wow.
Potential trouble.
Did you take them all to Germany?
I did. Well, no, there were...
Some of them.
I had 26 of them.
Whoa.
I had 26 of these kids. And then we honed it down to 15. And then we went into teams of... Four teams of four.
Yeah.
And then they competed against each other.
Yeah.
And then the winners of those teams, it chose six, and we applied for funding.
Yeah.
Through the Unicycling Society of Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And we got funding to go to Germany.
That's amazing. Wow. Look, I'm a bit cognizant of the time because you need to finish about 7:30. So we've got Hong Kong. Let's just leave Hong Kong there. But you've been involved in other countries as well, haven't you? Setting up stuff. I'm talking about the Philippines in particular.
Along the way, we had already set up Hong Kong, according to the IUF rules.
Yeah.
And Jack Halpern called me up and said, hey, good job, I'm coming to Hong Kong, I want to ride with your boys.
Yeah.
So Jack Halpern flies over to Hong Kong in 1994.
Yeah.
2 years after we had set up the USHK.
Yeah.
And so me and the boys took Jack to the peak, and we rode him around the peak.
Yeah.
Had some dinner at the Peak Cafe and unicycled around the peak, and then we rode down again to the mid-levels.
Mm.
Jack was having a hard time keeping up. Keeping up, yeah.
It's pretty steep. Very steep.
At that point, Jack said, hey, remember I told you to get those business cards from Beijing?
Yeah.
He said, do you still have them? And
yeah.
I said, I sure do.
Yeah.
He said, well, I think it's time to... get to put together the Zhongguo Duluncho Xiehui. Let's go organize mainland China.
Mainland Chinese.
Yeah.
Get them involved in the unicorns.
So Jack and I planned a yep. So it was Hong Kong first, and then it was China.
Yeah.
So Jack and I went together.
Yeah.
We went to Guangzhou. We went to Beijing, and we visited my old friends from the late 80s. Those and they were now directors of the circus group in Shanghai and Beijing. So they were very excited to see the the organizational documents that the IUF had put together, and Jack had made a proposal, and he had already translated them into Chinese for those people.
There you go.
Yeah, because he was organized, right?
He's organized, yeah, okay.
And he's the organizer. He organized all these Unicons.
Yeah.
So he sat down with these people and said, we're serious, you know. You guys are really good with the cups and the six-footers. How about basketball unicycling? How about 100-meter dash? How about 400-meter? How about 1,600 4x4 relays? How about stuff like that?
Yeah,
That was all new to them.
Yes.
That was all new and different and cool. And Jack, and then so then Jack, who speaks fluent Mandarin, did a slide presentation of what happened in Japan.
Yeah.
How it started from just one guy, and now Japanese has unicycling in every single school.
Yeah.
So the Chinese acrobatic guys liked that, and they raised the issue to the next level, which is some big state body.
State funding.
State body.
State
and
body.
By the following year, they already had a national organization attached to the Chinese national cycling team.
Mm.
And they invited all of us to go to the Great Wall.
And to ride there again.
To ride with them.
Ah.
So the first time we had invited them, they didn't come, and second time they invited the world. So
how about the Philippines, though? The Philippines.
So we had done Hong Kong.
Yeah.
We had done China.
Yeah.
That was 1995. We did China. 92 was Hong Kong. 95 was China. Then 1998, I took the Hong Kong boys to Germany. That was a lot of fun.
Mm.
And by that time, I was hanging out with a lot of Filipinos here in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Who were really jolly. From the entertainment world.
All right.
Because by 1997, 1998, I had already gone into entertaining. And I'd met a lot of Filipinos who were musicians.
There's so many musicians,
entertainers.
Making a good living in Hong Kong, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So and they're jolly and they're fun.
Yeah.
And they were really good entertainers. We would do a parade and we'd be on the unicycles. And the Filipinos would be down there playing the drums and the guitar. And
they have some of the best parties in the world. If I do a Filipino birthday party, love it. Always great fun.
Oh yeah, and so they after a few San Miguel's, they would want to try the unicycle.
Yeah,
you know, and I'd try to play the flute, whatever. Yeah. But I was amazed at how quickly they were able to, you know,
pick it up.
Yeah,
oh, great.
Yeah. And these guys said, well, you know, there's acrobats in the Philippines.
Oh.
These guys told me there's acrobats in the Philippines. These guys that ride unicycles in the Philippines. And I said, really?
Yeah.
So by 1999 or 1998, the following year after I came back from Beijing, I thought, you know, I'm going to do the Philippines now.
The Philippines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from those Filipino musicians in Hong Kong some girls, domestic helper ladies on their Sunday off.
Yep.
Who saw me riding around the street and said, hey, can I try that?
Wow.
So we arranged a Filipino Hong Kong lady group in a park nearby.
Yep.
And I taught them all their, you know, the skills without actually traveling to the Philippines.
Amazing.
And I had this, I established the Filipino Unicycling Network.
Fun. F-U-N. Oh man!
From Hong Kong.
USHK, FUN. You like your acronyms, huh? That's a good one.
I'm not going to tell you what CUA means.
What does CUA mean? I don't know what CUA means. I don't know.
If you're going to fall on your butt, cover your ass.
Okay, cover your ass.
No, it's that. They accused me of that one later. No, it meant the Chinese Unicycle Association. Period.
Okay.
It was their name. It was their thing. I didn't invent that one.
Okay.
It was pretty standard, right?
Yeah.
Came right out of the book. But so then the Philippine thing happened, and then I traveled to Philippine with these Hong Kong girls on their holiday.
Yeah.
And we performed.
This is just amazing, because, I mean, you've been doing this for so many years, and your enthusiasm is still red hot, and you are going, all right, I'm going to teach these Filipino domestic helpers on their Sundays how to ride a unicycle, and now I'm going to go with them to the Philippines and start setting up a club and a Filipino Unicycle Nation Association.
We were invited to the Presidential Palace.
Wow.
In Malacañang.
Wow.
With these girls.
Yeah.
By that time, we had unicyclists in six different cities in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Part of the network.
The Filipino Unicycle Network.
Yeah, the fun network. And I had done it once again through the acrobats. I was able to hook up with those acrobats that these guys knew about, and I talked to the head guy, and those acrobat
in the Philippines
had acrobatic stations in different parts, because there's 7,000 islands. So they had an acrobatic station in the north, they had an acrobatic station in the south, they had an acrobatic station in Manila. So all I had to do was go pick out the unicyclists from those acrobatic groups, and they became the local
agents. That's amazing.
Right. So we knitted them all together, and then by the year, so 1998, but by the year 2000, we took a Philippine team to Beijing.
Yay. Yes. Well, I went to...
How about yourself?
I went to Unicorn 2004 in Japan, and I saw some great Filipino unicyclists there.
Oh my goodness! That was my highlight.
That guy who could just balance motionless without pedaling for hours.
Reach him, Almocera.
My goodness, that guy, wow.
Slowboard, yeah.
So he doesn't even ride, but somehow he balances. He's not even moving forwards or backwards.
No.
What a great sense of balance.
Unbelievable, yeah.
I met him in Hong Kong, so I think he was at Ocean Park.
Jing Almocera.
Ah.
Yeah, Jing and his brother, Jing and Ulrich Almocera. So by that time, Ross Best had come along. I think it was, we were training for the Beijing Unicon in 2000.
Yeah, 2000,
so
yeah.
1998, 1999, when we were training those Filipino domestic helpers down in the park.
Yeah, in Hong Kong.
We were training FUN.
FUN, yes.
Okay, that we were training the FUN team. And the Hong Kong boys on Chung Chau didn't really want to come because it was a long way to come over here. And
that's a 30-minute ferry ride, yeah.
So I'd moved on to FUN, and the USHK guys were doing their own thing. Sometimes we got together. So some magazine guy from the HK magazine wanted to come and talk about the USHK.
Yeah.
And he came over and there's no Hong Kong people. He said, hey, I'm here to talk about the USHK. How come there's no Hong Kong kids?
It's all the Filipinos and you.
And I said, well, you know, we're starting a branch in the Philippines and we're going to call it FUN.
Yeah.
He said, well, this looks like FUN.
Yeah.
So he took that photo of the girl on for the cover of that magazine.
Yes, I've seen the photo.
And then inside, it was basically a discussion of societies in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And interesting societies you can belong to, off-the-wall societies.
Yeah.
One of them was Unicycling Society of Hong Kong, and he said, by the way, if you happen to be Filipino and you live in Hong Kong, you can also join FUN.
Yeah.
Join in the FUN.
Yeah.
Roz Best and Daniel... the Roz is from... Is she Australian?
I don't know where she's from.
She's Australian. Chris? Chris...
So did they see this article?
Yeah.
And that's how they met you?
Yeah. Then they called me up and they said, hey, listen, I see you guys get together in this basketball court every Thursday night. Can we come?
Yeah.
So Roz and Daniel came and another expat guy with a 9-year-old kid from Australia, they joined.
Right.
So they came in and... They said, so what are you guys up to? And we said, well, we're training to bring FUN and USHK to the Unicon 10 in Beijing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, where are you guys from? And Chris said, we're from Australia.
Yeah.
And how about you, Daniel? And he said, well, I'm from New Zealand.
Yeah.
I said, well, we don't have a team in New Zealand. And he goes, well, if I go by myself to the Beijing Olympics, can I hold the New Zealand flag? I said, well, I don't want you to hold the
Hong Kong flag.
Yeah, you could hold the Hong Kong flag if you want.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to
represent New Zealand.
Probably represent New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah.
What a great idea, I said, but if you do that, there's big responsibility to follow. It's about that thick. And I said the same thing to Chris. His surname eludes me.
Don't worry, we'll find it eventually.
Chris and his son. And I said, if you like, you can also be the first Australian to carry the flag at a Unicon.
At a Unicon, yeah.
Right? Following the John Foss... formula of 1976.
Yeah.
When there were two French tourists.
That's right. It's international. We've got an Australian team, one guy who lives in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Who has an Australian passport.
That's right. So in Beijing, I was actually credited in Beijing as the team leader for Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Philippines.
Australia.
New Zealand. And by that time, China had already organized itself.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I was just a guy in the backseat at that point. So yeah, Beijing, 2000.
So that is Steve Dressler. What a legend. This episode is being currently recorded during the fourth wave of the coronavirus here in Hong Kong. So wherever you are, whoever you are, stay safe and stay tuned. I will bring out another episode shortly. Take care, guys. Goodbye! So where did you come up with the name Unimail?
Well, as I said, I picked up unicycling because I could ride back and forth to school.
Yeah.
And on my way home from school, one of my jobs was to stop at the mailbox. which was at the end of my driveway.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would open up the mailbox and then ride up the driveway with all the mail in my hand, and I would deliver it to my mom.
The uni mail.
And I said, "Hey, mom, delivered by delivered via uni mail."
There you go.
Yeah, that's where it began.
And that was the stage name.
So then they started calling me Unimail after that. Right? And who knows? And then I had no idea that
a monster had been born.
Yep.